My name is Emetima. My husband, Tofola Tima. We co-pastor Faith Chapel in Choctaw. I am from the island of Samoa, a Polynesian island. I've been mistaken. It's either I'm Native Indian, I'm Hispanic, or something else. I am from Samoa. It's a small island in the South Pacific, a Polynesian, probably about 100,000 populations. I came here to the U.S. with two goals. One is to learn English, and second is to graduate from college. And the reason why those are my goals, because my dad at the age of 7 quit school to find a job to care for his pregnant mom when his dad left. And I wanted to do that for my dad and for myself. But I found out that the only way for me to get where I need to be, I need to learn the language. I really need to learn the language. And I repented and I apologized to some, not all of them, for those who fell victim to my broken English and my lack of understanding. And I thank God because I asked him, I said, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? All you need to do is take the M out and that's it. Voila, that's the word. And Tima said, honey, you don't get it. It is a big deal. You don't understand until you fully understand. And praise the Lord, I got it. I got it, honey. And it is a big deal. You know, I got offended when somebody, I thought that he called Brother Tima a lazy boy. And I got so offended, I rebuked him. And then he was a friend of a friend, and his English was bad as mine. And he left, and my friend said, Sister Tima, he didn't call Brother Tima a lazy boy. He was talking about your recliner. I said, I don't know there's another name for that. And so I had to repent, and I had to humble, and I had to go and apologize to him. And I felt that the rebuke came back to me. And it is a big deal. It is a big deal when I was trying to introduce myself, and I thought this man's name was his first and last name, and I approached him. You know, I was proud of myself, and I said, hello, brown nose. And he got offended. He got mad. And he was talking so fast. And every time, at that time, you know, when people talking to me, they sound like a rewinding cassette tape. And I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about. So in my creative imagination, I thought that he was asking me how I got his name. And so I pointed to my Hispanic sisters. Because they were talking about him, and that's the only word that I heard, and they pointing at him. Come on now, somebody. Yes, it is a big deal. It is a big deal when somebody gave me a dress, and I wore it to church, and I had a little red belt, and I thought that was the most beautiful dress. Eyes were on me, and I found out it was a nightgown. I had to sit in the back pews. Yes, it is a big deal. When I came to America and I look at all these American women, you all look so gorgeous. It doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, or brown. You look gorgeous. I asked my sister, I said, what is that thing they put on their face? I want that. I want to look like an American woman. My sister said, it's a foundation. I said, you got to get me one of that. We went to Kmart, and that Friday, we happened to go sing, our choir happened to go sing at one of the brothers' funeral. And I put on that thing on my face, and according to the mirror, I was talking to the mirror, saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the beautiful of them all? And my mirror said, you are. So we went to the funeral, and our eyes were on me. And I thought I looked gorgeous like the American women. Well, I found out that I looked worse than a dead man in a coffin. My face was so white, and then I put on the wrong color. It was for the white women. Come on now, somebody. Yes, it is a big deal. When you try to be somebody. I heard someone say that if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it. Come on now, somebody. So I am very grateful that my journey was not a smooth journey. I embraced every bump, every obstacles, every trials, every challenges that came my way. And because if I didn't go through all that, I would never be able to discover my identity in Christ, develop the gifts of God in my life, and deploy in a position of readiness to bring in the good news of the gospel to Jesus Christ to those who are lost. My challenges helped me to grow. One of my favorite scripture that reminded me why this book was written comes in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Come on now, somebody. This scripture helped me realize that his written word in me, that I believe and believing that I have life through his name. And you are all sitting here in his house because of him. But I want you to know that I wouldn't be here and standing in the amazing presence of men and women of God without prayer. Prayer became my life. Prayer was and still is a big part of my life and whom I am in Christ. It is the only thing that brings me to my knees, a special place where I fellowship with my Heavenly Father. Me and Timo were having a devotion this morning, and we're listening to my favorite place to be is to worship at your feet. My favorite thing to do is to spend my time with you. And I pray and hope this morning that that is your desire. It was through prayer that I found my Jesus. When our heart knelt before him with a surrendering and a believing heart, we see changes. We see results. We see transformations. And it happened to me. I tell this to our church. Don't come to church just to be a hearer. Because if you just come to church just to be a hearer, you will never see change and results in your life. The Bible says that we need to be hearer and doer of the word. Only doers see results. Can I hear amen in the house of the Lord? The Bible helped me understand English. And I really thank God for Brother Doug Small. I don't know about you. I don't know what you thought of his teaching. But I'm telling you that this flesh has been suffocating because of him speaking the truth of God. Come on now, somebody. If him speaking the truth and the love of God and is touchy and is offending your flesh, you need to come to the altar. Can I hear amen? Because we need to hear that. I remember when we stepped in to continue the work, not taking over the church, but to continue the work of God. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is your vision for us, for this church? He said one word and he said it three times. I don't know what vision God gave you in your church, but it was a simple vision. He said souls, souls, souls. And he said, you are to love them as I love you. And I want to share this that the Lord in my heart 2 months ago, I told Tima, I said, the Lord laid this in my heart that his servants are focused on the number instead of the soul. Come on now, somebody. And he said, number equals money, souls. And when we focus on the numbers, we're losing the great commission. He said to go ye. What happened to your go-ye? Come on now, somebody. And so through struggles and hurdles that I went through, it was hard to learn the language. And I cried out, I said, Lord, I wanted to hear. I wanted to understand. I want to speak the language. I want to tell somebody about how wonderful and how good you are. But how can I reach those lost souls? This was after I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I repented and confessed him. And he instructed me, he said, you are to read this Bible and your native Bible, your native language, side by side. And I did that. I am no Bible scholars. I didn't take no English classes. But it was through this word that God led me through. The Holy Spirit was my teacher. He was my counsel. Come on now, somebody. And I did. It was tough. And through the word of God, I was able to. And I remember the day that I got saved and then we got baptized. I was still a broken English person, didn't understand. I remember myself went to the altar. Not only I was struggling on what was going on the outside, but what was going on inside the church. And I felt these hands were laying on me. And I felt the spirit was not right. I just shook it off. And I went to the bathroom and this lady followed me. And I was struggling with the language and he was so angry. And she pointed her finger at me. And I was like, she sounded like a rewinding cassette tape. And I was like, I have no idea what she's saying. But I felt the spirit in me and the only English word came in my mouth, you devil, you devil, you devil. Come on now, somebody. Not everybody that comes in the name of Jesus are for Jesus. Can I hear amen? We cannot just pray Jesus and smell like Jesus and look like Jesus. Come on, listen. We need to live like him. The devil is a liar. And we see that in churches. Even preachers that are standing behind the pulpit. I'm a preacher myself. We need to start laying our crown at the foot of the cross. We need to surrender our glory. It's all about him. If I step on somebody's toes, it's time for deliverance. Hallelujah. That's how powerful the word of God is. It can point us to his truth. And so here, she came, that lady never bothered me. And then the Lord, as I was praying and we're praying for Brother Dennis, like, who is Dennis? And as I spent my time with the Lord and the Lord said, go visit Sister Dennis. And I had no idea looking back that every places and everyone that I had encountered with, that God brought them there in my life to help shape me and mold me for his purpose. So I went over and I was the president of women's ministry in our small church. And I remember when they voted me as a vice president first, I was not a happy camper. I said, Lord, I'm a newborn Christian. I don't know a whole lot about you. The only assurance that I have that you died and you were raised from the dead just for this sinner. I'm going to send all these women to hell. And the Lord said, I will be with you. I will put words in your mouth. But what I didn't realize that he was putting me there to mold and to shape me. So here I went to Sister Danny's. And I said, Sister Danny's, the Lord said to come and see you. And Sister Danny's hugged my neck and he said, you have no idea. For 6 months, my son and I were praying that the Lord sent somebody to sit with Brother Dennis. And Sister Danny was probably close to 90 years old, late 80s. And I said, okay, I can do that. So found out that Brother Dennis was a retired minister. He's probably like in his 90s. And when I got there, I heard Brother Dennis was speaking in this beautiful language, and I thought he was speaking in Spanish. And so the arrangements was Timo would drop me off at 6 in the evening, and he won't pick me up until 4 in the morning. I took my Bible, I took my hymnal book, and I just sang to him. And I said, what is that language that he's speaking? She said, is that Spanish? She said, no, it's a heavenly language. And I said, Lord, I want to speak that language. I want to practice that language. You don't imitate that language. You don't practice that language. It's a gift. It's a language, the Holy Spirit. Come on now, somebody. And so here, Brother Dennis passed away. And I was so hungry to receive that gift of tongues. And so I went to the altar. And then there's this minister. He wasn't my pastor. I went to the altar. And I said, Lord, I want to receive that gift of tongues. And all of a sudden, I felt lightning like slapped me on my forehead. My head went back. And my eyes opened. Everything that I wanted to bring to the Lord, it all went out the door. And I looked at this man, and I said, I don't know if this is what he's supposed to do. if this is what I'm supposed to go through to receive the gift of tongues, my neck started hurting. I started having a headache. And then I started having this big red bump on my forehead. So I said, I'm going to try it one more time. And so I went again to the altar. And it didn't matter where I went. He came after me. And I knew looking back that the devil was using him. And I see people being delivered, people come and being healed from the altar. And I was the only one that went sit down with my neck hurt, my head. And I had this big, big red mark. And Tima said, oh, you have a big red mark on your forehead. And I really pray and hope that none of us here in the house are practicing that kind of work. Because that is not how the Holy Spirit works. I didn't receive the gift of tongues. But it wasn't because somebody pushed me down. It was because somebody slapped me. No. So I struggle understanding that. Understanding. I said, Lord, if this is what your word is saying, why is it not what that person is doing? We as minister of the gospel, we have to be careful. And I love everything that Brother Small was teaching. It is the truth. And we need to point us to the truth. Whether you or me like it to hear. I thank God for this man. And we need more Brother Small in this world that can point us and can speak the truth. I've been stoned. I've been seeing things. I went to New Zealand. I said to my brothers, I looked. They were gambling. I looked at my niece and nephews. They were drinking and cursing. The day that I received the Lord was the day that I draw a line. That generational curse is stopped right here. And I walked in. I went to New Zealand to our family reunion. And I didn't even like it. So I stood there in the center of the living room with boldness, the Holy Spirit in me. And I said it out loud, you are going to hell. Because that's how much I love my family. I want them to come to know the Lord as I do. And my older brother that had not seen me left the island at the age of 5. And I don't know him that well. He slowly put his cards down. He looked at me. You came all the way from America to tell us we're all going to hell. And I said, yes. That's the beauty of God's word. Whether we like it or not, it can only point us to the truth because he is true. Come on now, somebody. And 2 of my brothers came to know the Lord because of that. My other brother said, sister, I'm doing this and all that. And I said, you know that that's an abomination against God. You need to come to Jesus. And he gave his life to him. And so here in 2002, we went to my father-in-law's funeral. We used our military IDs. And we thought, okay, when we're done, we're going back to the U.S. We went to update our tickets. And I was advised that I need to go back to my island and renew my visa. I said, okay, maybe that couple of weeks. So Tima came back with the oldest one. I stayed home with the 2 younger ones. I said, we'll see you guys in maybe a couple of weeks. I flew to my island with the U.S. Embassy. I still remember that lady's name, Diana. And I went there to apply for a new visa, and I was told that it's 12 to 15 years. I flew back to Tima's island. See, we both are Samoan, but his island is a U.S. territory, American Samoa. And Tima can enter U.S. anytime. But I have to come here through visa. And so I went to the attorney general. I was told the same thing. I went to a cousin that was on the board of immigration. I was told the same thing. I went to the office of the congressman that represents American Samoa in Washington. I was told the same thing. Tima went to 2 congressmen here in Oklahoma. He was told the same thing. But what I didn't realize that God was working something in me. Come on now, somebody. And so his unit got mobilized. And here I am. The Lord was teaching me something. And here, before I went to the U.S., I was doing things that I thought it was the Lord's will in my life. And within that 4 months, God was molding me. He was taking things, blocked them out by the roots, and they said, these are not me. These are not my will. And he pulled them out. But I had a beautiful relationship with the Holy Spirit. A specific time at 5 o'clock, wake up and fellowship with me. Do you know that the Holy Spirit loves to fellowship with you and I? He loves it. And so that's what I did. And so instead of me getting to my pity party, I said, Lord, how can I be a blessing to others? To let them see your grace, the beauty of your grace and love in my life. So I started a Bible study, and it started with Tima's nieces and nephews. And then some other kids in the villages, they joined them. Then I got myself involved in a little small Assembly of God church. Built a great relationship with the pastor and his wife. And the whole time, I was waiting. And so Tima one day said, honey, I'm going to sell everything and move back to the island. I said, no, wait. Just wait. And the whole time, I was fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But he knew my heart was heavy. I missed my family. And we were working down, serving at Maranatha House. We were helping feeding the homeless. But every night, between 12 and 1, I hear these footsteps outside of our window. And I wake up in the morning and I said to my mother-in-law, do you hear? There's somebody, and I know it's a male. Because the way that his feet are so heavy. There's somebody walking around the house. I said, no, we don't hear nobody. But I heard those footsteps every night. But I'm telling you that what I did realize that God was shaping my life in what was waiting for me here in the U.S. And everybody felt sorry for me. I can hear the whispers in the villages. Oh, poor her. She's going to be stuck here 12 to 15 years. She needs a visa. And that morning, January 28th, after my fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I came out. He knew my heart was heavy. I came out with my Bible. And I sat there and I said, Lord, I know that your work in me is not done in the U.S. And I know that it's not your heart's desire to separate me and my husband. But if anyone can bring me, it's only you. I felt the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you thought, and he started listing every people that I went to. You thought that the U.S. Embassy, the Attorney General, the cousin in the Board of Immigration, the office of the Congressman, the two senators that Tima went to, the two congressmen. You thought that all these people has the power to bring you. And he said, I am the God of all powerful. Come on now, somebody. That was it. And with my tears, I opened up my Bible. My Bible was closed. And I opened up my Bible and it opened to Psalm 121. And it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? That's a question for me. It might be a question for you because I don't even know where you at right now in your walk with the Lord. And it says here in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I knew I felt this peace that came upon me. I'm not talking about the false peace that the world offers. I'm talking about the peace that Jesus spoke when he rebuked the storm. And he spoke, peace be still, that seized the sea. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking about the peace that surpasses your every understanding. I'm talking about the peace that Jesus says, my peace I give you. Not the peace that the world gives, but my peace. And I felt this peace. And at that time, that was an assurance. That was an assurance. It didn't matter to me. I don't care what anybody said. I didn't even know how or when I'm coming back, but I knew in my spirit that I was coming back because the God of all powerful said that I am the God of all powerful. And if anyone can bring you, it is him and him alone. Within 5 minutes, the phone rang. And Tima called. And he said, honey, I want you to go to the airport. There's an office of the Army Reserve there. The United States Army is sponsoring you. You don't need no visa. You don't need nothing else but that letter, and they won't touch you. I found that letter. And they said, the only thing that you need is that letter and my expired ID. I went for the MAC flight. He brought me and my children. And we got to the airport in Hawaii. And the devil said, there's an immigration guy right there. He's going to send you back. And I turned to him. I said, you're a liar. You're under my feet. Because everyone that was before me and behind me all had passport. The only thing that I had was that letter and this ID. And I gave it to the immigration guy. He looked at it and he said, you're good to go. My church was praying and fasting, and Tima went to my pastor and they say she landed in Hawaii. She's on her way to California. Who can do that but the Almighty God? I know there are many of us, preacher, minister, individual that are here in the house of the Lord, that probably sitting with a hell. God help him. Because all my journey and my whole life was a hell. God, how can I reach the people? How can I learn the language? How can I get somebody saved and tell them that Jesus loves them? But I know there are many of us who are sitting here in the house of the Lord. Probably you came with some kind of hell. You said, Lord, how can I get this church going? How can I reach the lost? How can I stay faithful in my relationship with you? How can I get the finance going in this church? How can I reach my children, my family, my friends that I love? How can I kick this bad habit? Or it might be some bad addiction. Lord, how can I get back in your will? But I know a couple of people that have some hells in the Bible. I preached last week about Gideon. And when the Lord approached Gideon, Gideon was hiding in a wine press. And he was hiding from the Midianites and the Amalekites. And said, I'm just going to stay right here. And I know there might be some of us who are sitting here in the house with the hell, hiding in your wine press of fear and frustrations. Come on now, somebody. Bitterness. And say, God, I don't even know how I'm going to get this church going. But I love what the angel of the Lord said to Gideon. He said, Lord, how can I save Israel? Judges 6, verse 15. His reasons was his family was poor in Manasseh. And he is the least of his father's house. He hides in a wine press from the enemies. In verse 16, it says, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. He's right here with you. He's right there with you in your church. Then it took me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. There was a priest, Zacharias. And the Lord came to him and he said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. God hears your prayer. If you're thinking that God gave up on you, he is not a God that gives up on his people that he loves. His reasons were because we're old. He doesn't say when Zacharias stopped praying for a child with him and Elizabeth. But the Bible says that we are old I don't know what I would do. And he said, and even Elizabeth is old. I don't know what I'll do. Tima says she's old too. God hears your prayer. And the last how in the same gospel in chapter 1 was Mary. And the angel said unto her, for thou hast found favor with God. And in verse 34, Mary said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? Her reasons was because she has not known a man yet. But I love the answer of the Lord in verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said, the Holy Spirit will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. I want to encourage you that whatever your how is that you came with you this morning, the Holy Spirit is bigger. The Holy Spirit is mighty than your house. Whatever kind of house you're going through, it might be a house in your marriage. It might be a house in your job or your finance. Whatever it is, I had a how. Lord, how can I speak this language? And through 5 years, I read this book. I'm no Bible scholar. But I read this book, and through this book in my native, and by my native language, he start opening the eyes of my understanding. Isn't that what Paul is praying in Ephesians? That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened so we may have the knowledge and revelation of God. I want you to know that whatever hells that you're going through, how are you going to get that church? Our church is a small church. We've been praying for a roof. I believe in the power of prayer. We tell the people, all our church members here, we need to pray for a roof. And every time it rains, I go and stand in every area of the sanctuary that leaks, and I pray the blood of Jesus to seal those leaks. And say, Lord, we thank you for your provision. We raised money. It was still not enough. And I remember that morning, I woke up and I told Tima, the Lord put in my heart, I need to make out a check. He instructed and directed me, you are going to make out a check to Heartland Conference for every pennies that you have in the bank. And Tima said, the savings and the checkings? Yes. So I made out that check, and I sat, and he said, put on the memo that a sowing seed of faith for the roof, and I signed it. He said, lay it down. I wrote this check in May of this year. And so I think like maybe June, I said to the people, stop praying and start thanking God for the new roof. We're going to have a new roof. I don't know how. I don't know when we're going to put it on. I don't know how we're going to pay for it. But God is bringing us a new roof. In August 10th, I received a check in the amount of $13,685. That's all we needed to put that new roof. Are you hearing me this morning? Do you realize that the God in you is greater and mighty than your house? Whether you're struggling financially in your church, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is bigger than your house. And my mom was dying. After he shaped and molded me in the island, brought me back, something in me changed. My prayer life changed. My walk changed. The way I see things changed. Not realizing that he was preparing me for the gospel. My sister said, Mama is dying. I knew my mama was not saved. I went on a 21-day fasting. And I said, Lord, I wasn't praying for her to be healed in the physical. And I said, Lord, I pray that you heal her soul. Let my mama come to know you as I do. Let her taste the greatness and thy loving kindness, your faithfulness as I do. And I was praying very specifically because of my experience in the church. Because I told Tima, that minister that's been slapping, Elisha slapped my forehead. There's a word that rhymes minister. He's not a minister. He's a sinister. And I did not want no sinister to go and lay hands to my mama. And I said, Lord, I pray that you send a minister that is rooted and grounded in you to minister to my mom. You're a merciful God. And after 21 days, I heard bad reports. I couldn't go. We didn't have the money. The fare was almost $2,000. But I prayed from Oklahoma when my mama was in Samoa. In almost 30 days, my sister said, you will not believe what happened. I looked up and there was this man that was standing in the doorway. And he starts smiling, approaching them. At that time, my mom was in a very critical condition. And he went over and he said, introduced himself and said, I pastor a small Pentecostal church in the village right next to my village. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit said, there's someone in the hospital I need for you to go minister to. He ended up at the children's unit. And the Holy Spirit said, go next door. The next unit, there is somebody. Not knowing if it's a woman or a man. And as he was standing in the doorway, scanning all the people, at that time, my mom was in critical condition. And when his eyes fell on my mom, the Holy Spirit said, that woman, I want you to know that God is faithful. And can I confess something? Prior to today, prior to me speaking and sharing, I was so confident. And all of a sudden, I start getting attacked. I start allowing the devil to get to me. And he said, you're nothing. You are broken. Your English is broken. Nobody will understand you. And he said, do you realize the platform you're about to stand where women and men of God, they are greater than you spoke? And I start feeling nervous. I said, Lord, all I want is to tell you a story of what you have done in my life. That's all I want to do. But yes. And he showed me I'm a little pea, like a green round pea, like that. And that night I had a dream. I had a dream that there was a woman that was swimming face down in the water. And wherever she swims, there were lots of fishes in different sizes that were following her. And I saw sharks. I saw small fishes. And I saw sharks with big teeth about to bite her. Small fishes with big teeth about to bite her. And I saw myself standing and I said, hey, come out of that water. The sharks and little fish are about to bite you. And I woke up. And I told him, I said, that was a weird dream. And the Lord starts speaking in me. It's never you. It's always me that will draw the fish. Yes, that you will come across sharks and small fishes in the ministry that want to bite you. Come on now, somebody. That wants to put you down. Come on now, somebody. But as long as I am with you, it is him that draws the fish. It's never you. And my confidence start building up. And for the last 2 weeks, I was sharing the bedouins and the goats that here that I felt this song, the scripture in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am your God. It was singing in my spirit for the last 2 weeks, and it became a lyric in my heart. Be still and know that I am your God. And that built my confidence. We have been praying and fasting. I want you to know that no matter where you at, let the word of God speak the truth in your life. Your flesh is not gonna like it. And if there any sin that's in the way, the sin in our lives is not gonna like it. The beauty of God's word, when Brother Small spoke it, it went straight in my spirit. I said, yes, Lord, let the power and the might and the righteousness of your word suffocate the flesh within me, and let your glory and your will rise up within me so many may come to know you. That's why the devil has been after me. Because what I did not know looking back, that he was going to use a nobody like me. And when I surrender my life to him, he turned my life into somebody. And that is him. Don't underestimate the potentials of God in you. He loves you. Let him know how much you love him. Come on now, somebody. Never be ashamed. We love our church. We love every one of them. And we tell them. We made it routine. Every Sunday at 4 o'clock, we're up. Don't matter how tired, how sick we are, we're up when that clock, when that alarm hits 4. We eat breakfast at 4:30. Around 5, we leave the house. We go to the house of the Lord. We pick up the donuts. We get the coffee notes ready for Sunday school. And we spend time with the Lord. I want you to know that prayer is important. And I love what he says, that many of us are addicted to preaching instead of prayer. And we wonder why we're struggling as a church. Focus and love those souls. Embrace every one of them. They come in different sizes, in different forms. Let the love of Christ shine upon them. Get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit be in the way. It's not about you. It's not about your church. It's all about him and him alone. Can I hear amen? I really pray and hope that whatever kind of house that you came with you this morning, I want to encourage you. Let that Psalm 46 become a lyric in your heart. Let it sing unto you. Let it become a language in your heart, in your spirit. Be still and know that I am God. Surrender your church. Surrender your finance. It's not about you. It's not about your positions. Come on now, somebody. It's about saving souls. I was approached by somebody. He said, I want you to know I don't like women preacher. She said in my face. And the boldness within me looked in her face and said, I'm sorry you feel that way, sister. But that's not my problem. That is your problem. And if you have a problem, you need to take it to the Lord in prayer. I don't have time for that nonsense. I have work to do. I have souls to save. Come on, somebody. So she left the church. I said, there's another room for a fish that's willing for the Lord. I preach about Lot. I preach about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, there's some of you that are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Come out. It don't matter how many times you can say Jesus' name. He knows everything in the darkness. And I saw two people walk out. And I said in my spirit, Lord, there are some people that are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't be afraid to preach the word of God. It's never about you. It's never about me. Our church is not a wealthy church. But we are well provided for. We put on a whole roof that costs us $26,000. Who provide? The Lord. And I told Terry, at the guy that owns the roof company, I said, the insurance wants you to check the interior of the church if there's any damages, because that just been leaking for a while. He had no idea that I've been standing and praying and sealed every leak to the blood of Jesus. And he walked in there, he looked in there, he said, sister, there's nothing, no damage. And I stopped praising him. Why? Because I already sealed that roof, the blood of Jesus. And I want, there is a song where Brother Dennis, I was singing. And he said, I want you to go and learn this song that the blood never lose its power. I never heard of it. But I want you to know that that blood, it can reach the mountains. It can reach the valleys. It can reach everything that is holding you down. I went to minister to a church member that was graduating to heaven. I walked in with my hymnal and my Bible, and I start singing, I fly away. Heaven should believe when the rose call up yonder, blessed assurance, victory in Jesus. All of a sudden, I felt heat coming from my back. And I start smelling something burning. And I said, is there something burning in your room? He said, no. I said, do you have a portable heater? There's a smell. I smell this. And I felt this heat was coming from the wall that was hitting me in the back. I said, no, we don't feel anything. We don't smell anything. I said, no, something is burning. And I walked out of their room, and right next door was smoking coming between the doors. I walked out of that house lightheaded, my chest hurting. My eyes were itchy. I went home and I told Tim, I don't feel good. Take me to the heart hospital. I think I'm going to have a heart attack. We went to the heart hospital. We told them what happened. I said, I inhaled this smoke. They ran all the tests, but what they know, we already prayed the blood of Jesus over me. And they said, we can't find anything. Your heart is so healthy. Your lungs are clear. I found out from his son that his daughter was cooking meth next door. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you at. And I love what Paul says, for everything that he did for the sake of the gospel. If it put us in danger, I would rather die serving him than living a sinful life and be a hypocrite. Come on now, somebody. So I want to encourage you, whatever house that you came with you, surrender to the Lord right now. And so after everything, I want to show this off because I'm showing off my Jesus. I'm a U.S. citizen. And to God be all the glory. And I want to encourage you, whatever you're doing that is not of God, you need to stop. Get it right. Get him in there. I told our church, there's no such thing as half saved. It's either you're saved or you're lost. Come on, somebody. I've been stoned with stares. I've been stoned with words, but I don't care. As long as I preach Jesus, I would rather go to heaven and stand before the Almighty God and answer to everything that I said and I do. I say, yes. Well done, my servant. So keep your heads in the Word. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. There's power in prayer. And I pray that the Lord bless your ministry, bless you, surrender that hell unto you. I said to the Holy Spirit, I want to pray like her. I want to pray like him. I want to pray like others. He taught me a powerful prayer. He said the most powerful prayer is the one that comes from a surrendering and a believing heart. And that became my life. Surrender everything to him. It's not about you. It's not about your church. It's not about how much money you have in the bank or how a nice house you have. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you take your neighbors by the hand? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the power of your word that points us to your truth and the only truth. We thank you for loving us.
We thank you for the power of your word, Father God, that continues to minister to our heart. We thank you, Lord. You are forever, God, our beloved. And Father, with everything, Lord, that we brought with us today, every house, Father, we surrender unto you. And let your glory rise in every house, Father God. And Father, we also pray that you divinely deliver all of our house that we surrender unto you. And Father, give us the courage and the boldness to rise up and to go forward, Father God, with a sword in our hands and spread the gospel and win as many souls for the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord. And Father, if there is, Father God, someone this morning, you know what they're going through, Father God. Father, let your love touch them. Let your love encourage them. Let your love, Father God, give them that peace. Let your peace rule in our hearts, Father God. And Father, bless our bishop. Bless him. Bless him and his household. Bless him and his leadership. And Father, we pray that many churches will birth out of his leadership. And Father, we speak against any weapons that might form against him. Father, we speak against every evil implantations against this conference in the name of Jesus. And we pray that only the blood of Jesus that can neutralize every plans and every works of the enemy. And let your glory rise. And Father, bless our sister Bishop Louder and his family and his support and his prayers for our bishop. And Father, we just pray, Lord, your blessings in their household. Father, we lift up every heart and conference ministers, Father God. And Father, we pray that you touch every house in the church. We pray, Lord, that you divinely deliver every house in the church. And Father, we pray that you bless them, Father God. Let your anointing fall afresh on each and every one of them. And Father, let your will. We pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let it be rooted. Let it be grounded, Father God, in each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the people say, come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen.